You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
And a good Friday after the trade deadline morning to you. Top of the morning to you.
Oh, Danny boy.
And hello over there, Devin. I do want to give props. If anybody hasn't listened, we don't do this enough on here. Oxford Grey. Dude, you guys got some new songs, some new tunes out.
Yeah, yeah. We got a single out and an album hopefully coming out next month. So should be fun.
I was thinking, you know, we need to play a clip of one of those on the show here some point in time. Maybe as an intro, or maybe who knows.
We could do that.
Yeah. See. Just a thought. Okay. But anyway, you know, I don't want to talk music. We do have some notes to talk today, but folks, let's get into this. It is the morning after the trade deadline, the furious trade deadline. John, let's before we get into trade, let's talk Jazz schedule real quick.
Yes. We have two games before the All-Star break. Jazz are currently sixth right now, and Spurs are seventh, and so they play the Spurs. So that's going to wind up being a very important game. And then on the road at Golden State, and hopefully Golden State's bored and doesn't try hard in that one. It would be really nice if the Jazz could go into the All-Star break 33-24.
Right.
As I look at the standings, third place seems to be slipping out of place. Oklahoma City's won 9 of their last 10. Jazz are 4.5 games back. I don't know if they're going to catch up to them. We'll see, but fourth is still very attainable. And so that's going to be the one to follow.
Well, and just so people know, fourth is attainable, but every win matters from here on out. You couldn't get the season series against Portland. So tying them doesn't go to the season series. Rather, it will go to, I believe it's either division record or conference record, and that's where the Jazz need to gain some ground.
It'll go to division, and right now Jazz have a better division record.
And
so have to keep an eye on that.
Yep, every game here on out matters. It does.
Can I play devil's advocate for a minute?
Sure.
So we're talking about, oh, the Jazz can get up to fourth seed, and I know the home court is definitely an advantage when it comes to the playoffs, but is there any reason that the Jazz may want to slide as far as six?
Face OKC in the first round?
Would you want to go six, even seven? Because all I'm thinking is if you can get to the second round, which the Jazz have shown that they are capable of doing the past 2 years, you don't want to face the Warriors in the second round, do you?
That's assuming the Warriors.
That's
assuming the Warriors retain number one. You get seventh seed and say that Denver Warriors matchup goes back and forth. Season ends in and you got Denver in first place. Do you want the Warriors in the first round? No, not
necessarily, nope. But you know what I'm saying.
I know where you're going with this.
If you feel confident against teams five or team six or team three, rather, is that something that the Jazz kind of consider?
Right.
I don't know how often teams do that, where they actually play to the matchup.
I don't know that they do. I still think
it's rare that they do. I do remember 1 year Memphis looked like they lost a couple games on purpose because they wanted the Spurs in the first round. So it happens. I don't think it happens that much, but it does happen.
Well, and a couple of things to keep in mind. The Jazz haven't had home court advantage in the playoffs for two straight years, and they won both of those matchups.
And I guess
at the 4-5 spot.
The thing I'm thinking is don't panic if the Jazz don't get up to four.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, especially with, as John mentioned, how hot OKC's been. I'm not sure I want OKC in the first round either. Although there's always that possibility. It is all about matchups. We've got to see how the rest of this season plays up, because as easy of a stretch as it is, and I was looking, it's a pretty easy stretch through February. A couple games are going to be tough, but most of it not too bad. But you still have to worry about playing some of the playoff teams. You still got to face OKC again. You know, sure, for all the talk that the Jazz are really bad against playoff teams, they're not. They've tied the season series with Houston. They've tied the season series with Portland. They, you know, they're tied with Golden State right now. They've beat Golden State once and lost to Golden State once. You're tied with Western Conference teams right now. Is that any different than expected, really?
No.
So
there was a rough go of it for the Jazz there for a minute. I think the panic button got hit. Jazz have looked better as of late, and we'll see if they can put together a late season run like they did last year. I mean, that was what was ideal, is the Jazz went into the playoffs on a hot streak.
Right. And the Jazz have matched up. The teams they've matched up worse against this year aren't even going to make the playoffs. They didn't match up well against Memphis. In fact, there was horrible games there. Dallas beat them, and in fact, beat them running away. Neither of those teams are going to be in the playoffs this year. So we can look past that, look ahead. There's plenty of basketball. Denver's on the map. You got to play them two more times.
Well, so, and there is a little bit of shakeup in some of the Western Conference teams following the trade deadline, but we'll get to that later.
Yep.
So, John, how do you see these next two games going for us?
I think 2-0 is very doable, but I think ultimately they're going to split them.
I agree. And that win against San Antonio, like you said, is big. You know, they've jumped into sixth right now. They're a game ahead of San Antonio, or half a game, whatever it is. Winning against San Antonio is going to be huge.
Antonio's reeling. So,
oh yeah, they've lost three straight on their road trip right now. Somebody mentioned on Twitter, I think it was Dan Clayton, was mentioning that puts them with their backs against the wall. So Saturday's game isn't going to be a gimme for the Jazz. San Antonio is going to come in fighting.
And how have we been against them so far this season? I want to say we've split, but I don't recall.
I don't remember.
Let's see.
I'm trying to remember too.
They won one. They only played once?
I think so. Jazz have won that game,
nope,
right?
There it is. 1-1.
Oh, 1-1. Okay.
So one at home, lost on the road. So 1-1.
So again, could be a big game with season matchups. But again, as has been pointed out to us, it is just one game out of 82. Do not panic. It is no more important than any of the others.
Right. And then after Golden State, the Jazz get a 10-day break for the All-Star game. They play Golden State, Wednesday? They don't play again until the Friday following the All-Star break, I believe. If I looked at that schedule right. So nice little 10-day break.
I have a thought. Yeah. You guys tell me if I'm right or wrong here. And John, you're going to have to look this up. But last year, the Jazz put the whooping on the Warriors sometime in the spring. And I want to say it was right before the All-Star game.
I don't remember. They put a whooping on them January 30th of last year.
Is that what it was?
It was a 30-point beatdown at home.
That's the game I was thinking. Okay. So it wasn't right before the All-Star game. I was thinking it was, and I was wondering if
Well, you got the date right and everything.
Yeah.
The Jazz went into the All-Star break on like a 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, I remember January 30th of 2018 because it was also the introduction of the city jersey. That was the first night they had worn the city jersey.
Look at you go, Alan.
I'm just saying. I remember it well. I was there.
He doesn't have like notes in front of him for this, and this was not planned before the show. Hey, I am genuinely impressed.
I don't forget games like that. I don't. I was there. So, all right. That's enough looking ahead. We know where we know where things are. Let's hit the trade. We'll jump into NBA news and notes, talk about all of the trade stuff, but let's talk Jazz trade first. Jazz didn't make a move.
The Jazz traded for Korver November 30th-ish, so I guess that counts as their trade. All indications are they had Mike Conley as their number one target. They didn't want to have Exum as part of that deal. And the Grizzlies basically were asking for too much. And then at the last second, they trade Gasol, but not Conley. I mean, it just I don't know how that thing fell apart, but I guess the Grizzlies were just asking for too much, and the Jazz didn't want to overspend for him. and it just fell apart. And then all these other players that you thought were on their radar went to teams for what seemed to be bargains. Mirotić, I think, was a bargain for the Bucks. Porter, I think, was a bargain for the Bulls. So I don't know what happened there.
I think it comes down to contracts, really. And that was my issue with Conley, was how much you were spending to get him where he's on the other side of 30. You know, as a 31-year-old point guard myself.
$30 million a year for 2 years. On the plus side of 30 mil.
Right. And so I don't know.
Per year.
I don't know that I wanted to spend that. I kind of would rather play the free agency market like we talked about last week, I believe. But you run into the same thing with Otto Porter. Yeah, the Jazz probably could have gone out and gotten him, but Otto Porter is making close to the same, isn't he? About high 20s or early? Or
yeah, he's like 25, 26 million a year.
Right.
If you pay that, that's your guy. Your core is set. Your core is now Mitchell, Gobert, and Porter. And I don't know if that's a lineup that puts you over the top. So
I got to agree. Plus, again, the asking price for any of these situations might have been more than the Jazz were willing to give. You know, you have two expiring contracts. I wonder how many teams wanted Exum. You mentioned Memphis. But I'm going to pick apart this Memphis deal for a minute, okay? I wasn't a big fan of it from the start when people started talking about it. I get that Conley is an upgrade from Rubio, but my issues were beyond that. If you traded Favors and Rubio, for example, sure, you get rid of two expiring deals, you bring in Conley, but now your depth at the front court is hampered. And to make matters worse, your strong, good depth at that front court is hampered. I mean, everybody's like, well, you still have Epe Udo. But is Epe Udo going to give you 15 and 10 a night? And is he going to be the defensive presence that Favors was against the stretch fours and everybody else when Gobert is either on or off the floor? I have to think that's a big gaping hole that giving up Favors for, my opinion, wasn't good. And then if you want Exum, now you've given up your point guard depth. And so now you have Conley starting. Who's your backup point guard? You know, everybody says, well, Mitchell. Well, no, that's not Mitchell's natural spot. You may be able to play him for times there, but Neto's your next guy up. There's just, in my opinion, it's too much they're asking. Way too much.
Yeah. See, if they did do that deal, it wouldn't have involved all three of Rubio, Exum, and Favors because of contracts. It would have been two of those three. And it sounded like the Jazz were willing for Rubio, Favors, and a pick or two. But not Rubio and Exum.
Which it depends on which part of the deal. I'm sure they presented numerous deals. Yeah. I got word that Favors wasn't part of, well, okay, so when Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reported it, that Favors part of the deal, I got wind that Favors was not part of the deal, that Kevin O'Connor was blowing smoke, or that somebody wasn't sure where he was getting his story. I don't know about blowing smoke, but the indication I got was that they didn't know where he was getting that news from, because Favors was not on the table at that time. Maybe he was on the table at one point, but when Kevin O'Connor reported that, Favors was not on the table. So,
well, you got to believe that Grizzlies just wanted Rubio and Exum.
Agreed.
That matches up.
Agreed.
Otherwise, it's like, what are they offering Rubio, Tabo, and whoever else is expiring to try to make that work? The thing is, if they had done it, though, and Favors had left, then the Jazz would have been major players on the buyout market. They know that there's going to be 10, 12 quality guys on the buyout market, and you just get somebody there.
The problem with that buyout market, you go down that list, a lot of those guys already have targets. You know, Wes Matthews.
Yeah.
In Indy's targeting Wes Matthews. I could go down the list of guys that you know are going to end up, and I could probably already tell you where they're going to end up because teams are already targeting them. I don't know how the Jazz could have competed in that buyout market either.
Well, I think he's talking about guys like Marcin Gortat.
Maybe.
I hate to say Robin it. Lopez. Cantor. Yeah, Robin Lopez. I think Lopez will probably end up on the Warriors. But
right.
Only one guy can go to the Warriors. That's the nice thing here.
Okay, let's go through all the trades, and I'm just going to read them all off in order, and then we can talk about the aftermath. And I'm going to go clear back to the Porzingis trade. Mavericks got Porzingis, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Trey Burke. Knicks got Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and two future first-round picks. And as we've said, Wes Matthews was waived, and he has since gone to the Pacers. Next, we had Rodney Hood go to the Blazers. The Cavs then got Wade Baldwin, Nick Stauskas, and 2 second-round picks. The next trade that came down the pike, the Lakers got Reggie Bullock from the Pistons for Svi Mykhailiuk, whoever their rookie guy is. I don't know how to say his name, and a second-round pick. Next trade, Sixers got Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott. Clippers got Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks. Next, Milwaukee Bucks got Stanley Johnson and the Pistons got Thon McCour. Next, Phoenix Suns got Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington and the Miami Heat got Ryan Anderson. I'm hearing Ellington is probably going to get bought out. We'll see.
Right.
Wizards traded Otto Porter Jr. to the Bulls for Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, and a second-round pick. Next trade. The Rockets, Cavs, and Kings did a three-way deal where the Rockets got Iman Shumpert, Nick Stauskas, and Wade Baldwin, second time traded. Cavs got Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and a lottery-protected first-round pick. And the Kings got Alec Burks and a second-round pick. Next deal, the Mavericks got Zach Randolph and Justin Jackson from the Kings for Harrison Barnes. Next deal, the Wizards got Wesley Johnson in exchange to the Pelicans for Markieff Morris and a second-round pick. That was more of a get-under-the-tax type deal. The 76ers got James Ennis from the Rockets for the right to swap second-round picks. That felt like another tax deal for Houston.
Yeah.
Grizzlies and Clippers made a trade. Clippers got Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple for Avery Bradley. Next trade, the Blazers got Skal Ebisier, while the Kings got Caleb Swanigan. Next trade, the Nets got Greg Monroe and a second-round pick from the Raptors for cash considerations. Next trade, Indiana Pacers got Nick Stauskas, Wade Baldwin, third time traded, and a second-round pick, while the Rockets got the rights to Marty Lunin, which I guess is a foreign player who was drafted 6 or 8 years ago and is never going to see the NBA. Another way to get under the tax.
Yeah.
Next deal, the Grizzlies, Hawks, Celtics. They had Grizzlies get Tyler Dorsey. The Hawks got Shelvin Mack and Jabari Bird. And the Celtics got a second-round pick. I think that's Mack's second time with the Hawks.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Next, Orlando Magic got Markel Fultz, while the Sixers got Jonathan Simmons, a first-round pick and a second-round pick. Next trade, the Clippers got Michael Beasley and Ivaka Zubac, while the Lakers got Mike Muscala. Muscala traded again there. Next, the Bucks got Nikola Mirotic. The Pelicans got Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, a second-round pick, 4 second-round picks. And then the Pistons got Thon McCour. Raptors got Mark Gasol, while the Grizzlies got back Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a second-round pick. I think that was everybody.
I think so.
Are all your trades. That is a ton of trades.
As you were talking, do you know what I just counted, John? Six.
What's that?
6 first-round picks mentioned in that process.
All of that, 6. Only 6 first-rounders.
But that's crazy, though, when you consider some of those first-rounders. Some of those trades of the first-rounders are almost unheard of. You know,
yeah.
I'm just looking at it going, are you kidding me? You just gave up your life for the next 3 to 5 years for a player.
No, there's only one pick there that really raises an eyebrow, and I think that's the one that Philly sent to L.A. Because didn't they send a Miami unprotected first rounder?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did.
And I believe that's a 2020 pick, which means we'll see what Miami does in the next couple of years, because that could be very, very valuable.
Yep.
I think that's the trade that most intrigued me.
I was also remembering, too, yesterday, one of the trades ended up with a first-round pick going back to its originator. And I'm trying to remember which deal that was. That pick got traded a couple of years back. Ended up with somebody else, and then in this trade, it ended up back with its originator.
I think it's the Fultz pick.
I think that's what it was.
Because Orlando made a trade with
Orlando got their pick back or something like that,
yeah,
didn't they?
Somehow that wound back to them. I think Orlando made a deal with Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City made the deal with Philly to get Jaren Grant.
Right.
And then the pick goes back to
I kind of laughed Orlando. When I read that.
Or vice versa.
Philly got a Oklahoma City first rounder for Fultz.
Okay. Yeah, I think I reversed the order there. So.
All I remember is that when I was reading that the pick started and ended back with the team it started with. And I'm trying to remember if that was the Philly deal or not. There was one pick that it's funny how these picks just get thrown around. Boom, 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 boom. And where they end up, nobody knows. In this case, it ended up back with its origination. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Let's hit on what's important with these trades. Mine that I was most intrigued by was the one for Harris made by the Sixers. Because to me, the Sixers give up a decent amount. They give up a lot of picks, if I recall.
Yeah.
Just for a guy who's on a loaner. I know Jazz fans are interested because they're like, oh, we could have gotten him.
High risk, high reward possible.
Yeah. What happens here? Do you think this pans out for Philly, or do you think Harris walks at the end of the season and they end up kind of losing the trade, if you will?
All depends on chemistry once Harris shows up. I mean, Sixers are really going for it. So I guess it really all comes down to how do they look in the playoffs? How well does Harris fit in with Simmons and Embiid and Butler? Butler seems to be the big thing, and Butler has a player option, so he's going to be free agent this summer too, possibly.
In fact, I heard
so they're going to have a lot of questions.
Trying to remember, Brett and I were talking. Our good buddy Brett, you know, we talk, you know, often, and he was talking about all the trades. He eats this stuff up, but mentioned. I think it was him that mentioned to me Tobias Harris's insurance. Because if Butler walks, you can sign Tobias Harris and you don't lose anything.
Well, the plan is to sign both of them.
Right. But Tobias Harris ends up being an insurance policy if Butler walks.
I don't know Possibly. If that's the case.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's a guy that you say, yeah, we wanted to get you here. But at the end of the day,
he may walk.
He could walk too if he doesn't like the environment or whatever you have. But either way, I want to ask you guys, is Elton Brand our executive of the year?
Oh, my gosh. He has to be. Either he is or Milwaukee's GM might be in the running for that, for what he's been doing.
I'll tell you who I'd give it to. I'd give it to the guy from the Pelicans. Oh, that's boy. Who I would give it to. That is my executive of the year and my MVP.
Can I just make a comment about this whole Pelican Lakers thing? All I can do is remember back a few years ago when the Pelicans, and at that time were the Hornets, and there was a star player on that team that did he demand a trade? I'm trying to remember if he demanded a trade or not, but they ended up trading him and not to where he was expecting. And I believe it was the league at the time blocked that trade. Did they not?
The Hornets, you talking about Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, David Stern personally blocked it.
Yeah, because they were trying to...
The NBA technically owned the Pelicans at the time, or the Hornets or whatever. And they had this all set up, and Stern said he didn't think it was a fair enough trade.
Right.
So
it just,
they waited for the Clippers deal and trade.
It just makes me laugh, because here we come full circle. What if Anthony Davis ends up signing with the Clippers, and here we are again, right where we were with Chris Paul, and the Lakers don't get the guy they want?
He's not going to the Clippers.
I'm just saying.
He can
you just
say
got
that.
Super digitally.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no Clippers for AD. We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah. Sorry, John. Yeah. I that's what I was saying. I said maybe AD ends up with the Clippers.
That is possible.
And it would make me laugh. It made me laugh that they tried to trade for Chris Paul years ago, couldn't get him. Now they try for AD, can't get him. Both end up in the Clippers instead of the Lakers. Just something to think about, something to laugh about.
Well, the Clippers, I think with all of their deals, they will have room.
Yeah.
They've
had a fire sale.
They did. If they had managed to trade Gallinari, then it would have been perfectly clear. But they could still use Gallinari in a trade for Davis, and they have some more picks they can send that way. So they could package Gallinari, Lou Williams, whatever guys down the list, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's looking really promising. So they could package something like that, like those three guys in picks, and then Pelicans could look at that and say, well, Gallinari is a borderline all-star. Shai is looking like one of the best best draft picks from his class. So yeah, maybe they can go that way. But I still think Boston can beat that. But see, if Clippers somehow got a trade for Davis, and then Kawhi Leonard, say Toronto goes out in the second round, Kawhi Leonard could join him in the Clippers, and then bam, you have another dynasty.
Right.
Interesting.
That was my other thought, is does Kawhi stay in Toronto? That's another trade I am really intrigued about. Pau Gasol playing with Kawhi Leonard and Mark Gasol playing with Kawhi Leonard and Siakam up in Toronto, and Lowry. And Toronto, I think, got better with that trade. It remains to be seen, but I think they got lots better. And I like that trade for Memphis. A front court of Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. is intriguing to me, man. And I'm frothing at the mouth almost for that. I want to watch those two play and see what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that Toronto, they gave up enough pieces, and yet they didn't have to give up any of their core young guys to get Gasol. I think, you know, it's kind of like both sides played hardball with Memphis, and Memphis gave in to Toronto and they didn't give in to Utah.
Right.
Oh, well. But yeah, that's a plus for Toronto. And the second round playoffs in the East is just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really happy the East finally has like four whole good teams, and it's an actual mystery as to who's going to win.
And there's a possibility they get better. New York could bring in, the offseason could bring in some free agents. This is going to be a very interesting offseason for the East.
Yeah.
But Toronto, again, there's another guy, executive of the year.
Right,
You bring in Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard versus you bring in Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. There's some work being done in the East, and you're right. It's great to see.
Yeah, agreed. All right.
Speaking of, if we're done with trades, maybe we should look at how the East is currently shaping up in the playoff picture?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. East, your top. You have Milwaukee on top. Toronto is a game and a half back at second. Indiana is still third. They have won four in a row. I thought they would dip faster with Oladipo's injury, but I don't know if it's scheduling or what. But
and they might
they're
target
not going away yet.
They might target Wes Matthews, which would be a nice pickup for them.
Yeah, Wes Matthews would fill a hole there. Boston is at fourth. Philly is at fifth, although they're only half game behind Boston. And so those are your top five teams. Then there's a big gap, and then you have Brooklyn is sixth at 29-27, and It's interesting that the Brooklyn got Greg Monroe, and Caris LeVert should be back any day now. So they're
and Russell is playing out of his mind.
Russell's playing great. He's going to be in the All-Star game. I think Indiana and Brooklyn are probably going to be fighting for the fifth seed, really. And then you have Charlotte and Miami, who are both have losing records, and they are just cannon fodder for the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
And ninth place is Detroit. They are a game and a half back in Miami. I guess they could still get into it, but
that's the other team that, other than Reggie Bullock, really didn't get what they wanted out of the trade deadline. That was another team in talks with Mike Conley.
Yeah, they were in talks, and I didn't really get why Memphis would want Reggie Jackson, but apparently talks got pretty far.
Right. So, and speaking of Detroit, again, that's another trade I thought intrigued me, sending Reggie Bullock out like they did. Reggie Bullock's a player I like, and I think I think he's going to serve well for the Lakers, right?
Yes.
And I think he's going to serve well for the Lakers. I think that was a good pickup. Good 3-point shooter. Jazz fans should know that. He torched the Jazz at least in one quarter, knocking down some serious 3-point shot. He's a good baller. So I think that's a good pickup for the Lakers. So, yeah, I was surprised that Detroit didn't move more than they wanted in that situation. I'd be curious to see what happens to them down the stretch. All right. I think that's it. We talked about the West already. Should we go over them real quick? West 1 through 8.
Sure. It is Golden State, Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, Houston, Utah, San Antonio, Clippers. And ninth place is Kings. They're only a game back from the Clippers. And Lakers are only a game and a half back from the Clippers. Clippers, with their trades, you got to imagine they're going to fall into the lottery. So it's really going to be Kings and the Lakers fighting for the eighth seed.
Agreed.
And it was interesting to watch the Lakers last night playing at Boston. Think with all the turmoil happening there that they would have just gotten blown out. Not only did they win, but they came back from a deficit to win, and that was quite the game. I'm not sure if you guys saw the finish.
I didn't, but I saw
the finish, yeah.
I saw the final shot. I did see the box score, and I don't like giving this guy any airtime whatsoever, but I feel like LeBron's game last night, the triple-double and the DNP for ball is maybe a little bit of a smack back to LeVar Ball yesterday for claiming that his son is better than the aging LeBron James.
Yeah, that's something. But, you know, the thing was, I think the Lakers caught fire there in the second half and really knocked down the threes, and that's what got him back in it. So we'll see how this pans out over the next month, if they can sustain it or if it was just a flash in the pan.
I'm just saying, Bron, triple-double, 28, 12, and 12, and shot the ball extremely well.
Lonzo Ball could have had a quadruple-double with more points than LeBron James ever scored in his life.
All right, that'll do it for NBA news and notes. Quick shot over to Devin's quick hits.
I don't think we have quick hits today. It's been so much basketball, I haven't even paid attention to anything else.
Patriots.
What about them?
Super Bowl champs.
Was that this week?
It was.
Was it? Wow. Yeah, that's the lowest. That is the lowest score any team has ever had in the history of the Super Bowl who still won.
Yeah.
13-3. And one thing I'll say about that, it bugs me that they gave the MVP to an offensive player, and they should have given it to any player on the Patriots defense. Because
I'm okay giving it to Edelman, though. Edelman. How my thought process there is how much do the Rams need to be reminded not to leave him open?
Okay, I'll give you this. Edelman gets the yards, puts the Patriots in the position to win. But do you guys have a problem with him being suspended 4 games at the beginning of the season for using PEDs and then being a Super Bowl MVP? Do you have a problem with that or not really?
Not really. I hadn't even thought about it.
Not really. I was aware of that, and it's just another thing to go into reasons to hate the Patriots. But
because I was watching one of the national shows, and they were saying that another sport has a rule where if you have a suspension for PEDs during the season, you are suspended for postseason play as well.
Oh,
I didn't hear that.
Would you support a rule like that?
Maybe.
I don't know
about that. Maybe.
I don't think I could do that. But one thing I'll say on this as well, Edelman is the only Super Bowl MVP offensive player who didn't score a single point.
Good point. I'll also say this to your other point, John.
Good point.
Vannoy could have been your MVP. You talk about defense. I think
could have been Van Noy, could have been Hightower. Yep. It should have been somebody on defense.
I'm not going to disagree with that either. So you laugh at my good point statement. How dare you?
No,
okay, fine.
You said he didn't score a single point. Oh, then so said,
the pun. All right. Fine. Okay, that's it for quick hits. Didn't really have much, right? So let's move on to pop culture. John?
I can't actually top pop culture this week. I got to go.
Yeah. Fine.
All right, we'll let you go.
We'll hold off on pop culture. Thank you all for joining us this week on another episode of Jedi and Germs. It was a quick one. Pre-All-Star break, post-trade deadline. But hey, it was a good one. Thank you for joining us. Find us each week wherever you listen to Jedi and Germs. Look us up on Facebook, on Twitter. Share with your friends. Share with your loved ones. Share with everybody you know. Have them join the conversation. We thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.